If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Time is no problem. My sermons are like baloney. I can cut them anywhere I need to cut them. I tell you, during the COVID and doing a live stream on Facebook 3 times a week, really taught me how to cut sermons down to what is important, what is unimportant. And, of course, timepiece always helps you know when you're done. And we thank the Lord for His kindness to us in these days. We've been looking at the subject of unknown here, but well-known over there. And we have looked at 2 or 3. We looked at the little maid in Naaman's life, the unknown connector. We looked at Obadiah on Sunday night, the unknown provider. And then Joash yesterday morning, the unknown keeper. I was thinking about the unknown this morning in 2 Samuel. I thought maybe I would ask you, because I know there's probably been multiple times this has happened to you, that you have discussed this man, maybe at supper time at the table, or maybe you and your wife riding down the road. I know there's been multiple times that he has come up. And I was just wanting maybe you to go back to one of those times when he's just been the subject. You've talked about it maybe for hours. His name is Obed-Edom. You remember those times, don't you, where you have talked about him, discussed him. Very unknown. Son, he rocked heaven. I'm afraid many of us are known here. Very unknown over there. We're not rocking nothing over there. We're not disturbing the devil, for sure. In 2 Samuel chapter number 6, and verses 5 through 8, David has sought to take the Ark of the Covenant back. And a man by the name of Uzzah, I went and looked up that Hebrew pronouncement this morning in verse 8. The cart sort of stumbles a little bit, and he put his hand on it, and God thumped him, killed him right there. In verse number 9, it says, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him in the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house. Here's that guy you've been discussing a lot of, you know, several times. His name's come up in your Bible discussions. Obed-Edom. He's a Gittite. Says, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months." I want to look at him this morning as the unknown man of blessings. It says, "And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all." I don't know if you'd see that word or not. I'm sure it must have come up in your discussions that talking about Obed-Edom. God blessed all of his house. We unpack this man's life. His change. He was a servant of Edom. That's what his name means. He's an Edomite. He is in the line of the damned. He's a descendant of Esau. He's hell-bound with Hamadan. Obed-Edom. The Bible said he was a Gittite. It means he's from Gath. Goliath's hometown. That's where he was from. I thought it was interesting, this little word, Gittite. It is a musical instrument used during the time of the wine presses. Wasn't it Isaiah said of Messianic of Jesus, he said, I have trodden the wine presses alone. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. Obed-Edom's name's mentioned 20 times in the Old Testament. It is the number of complete redemption because of one who has been tried in the fire on your behalf. So it seems along the way Obed-Edom has come in contact with the Old Testament blood of the Lamb. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 15, the Levites made him a porter, a doorkeeper in the house of God. So this man who was in the line of Edom, the line of the damned, he was from Gath, Goliath's hometown. He would have to say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. There's been a major change in this man's life. Oh, he's unknown here. God has sensed the need to radically change him. I notice not only his change, but I notice his calling. Uzzah has touched this cart and God's killed him. And in verse number 9, David is afraid and he turns and he takes the Ark of the Covenant to Obed-Edom's house. Time out! Hold on! Why didn't he take it to his next door neighbor? Why didn't he take it to the guy on the right of him? Why did he take it to the guy on the left of him? Why did he take it to his house? I can't help but believe that David is very aware of the radical change in this man's life. And God takes the Ark of the Covenant to Obed-Edom's house. His change, his calling. I notice his center, the Ark of the Lord, is the Old Testament temple piece that was a picture or a lesson of the presence of God. God's presence now is at Obed-Edom's house. I was thinking about that. If God's presence is going to be at your house like it was at Obed-Edom's house, I am firmly convinced that Obed-Edom had to start doing some things and he had to stop doing some things. God's going to live there. I can almost hear him now telling the kids, shh, God's here. Better watch what you say. Watch how you act. God's in the house. So now, God has taken up residence. He is the center point of Obed-Edom's house. And everything is revolving around the Baptist church. God forbid. No! Everything is revolving around God Almighty. He's centered up. I was wondering this morning, is he the center at your house? Everything revolving around him. I notice in verse number 11, the Bible tells us that he continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. I was interested in that little word continued. It means to sit down upon. To come to rest, to remain, to make a dwelling place. I was interested in the word continued. It is the Old Testament Hebrew word for abide. Jesus said in John 14, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, you shall ask whatever you want to and I'll do it. A little New Testament word abide means to be at home in, be at home in. We have a silly, stupid, southern word, phrase, that we lie every time we say it. Somebody comes over the house and you tell them to make themselves at home. It's the biggest lie that you've ever told in all your life. Because if I'm going to make myself at home, I want to go in all the rooms of the house. I want to go in all the closets. I want to go in all the dresser drawers, especially the ones you got by the bed. I want to look under the bed. I want to go up in the attic. I want to go in the basement. Really and truly, you just told me, you know that chair right there? Why don't you just sit there right that square foot and don't move? Most of us, I believe if we'd be honest with ourselves, that's the way we've invited God into our heart. We have relegated a place for Him. We take Him out on Sunday night and Wednesdays, and we play with Him, and we put Him back up. I tell you, if He's inside of you, He'll be like a bull in a china shop. He'll knock down every door in the place until He's the center point. Obed-Edom has made Him the center. I was thinking about His centerpiece. I was thinking about the contents of this ark. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us there was three things inside of this ark. But of course, Obed-Edom would not know that literally. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you could get this. It'll be way over your head. Because he ain't touching that. He ain't lifting that lid and looking in there. Because he done see what happened to Uzzah in the street. So he's going to take it, here it is, by faith. Oh, what we have Christ today, if He's the center point of our house, everything's revolving around Him. We must take by faith what is in Him. There was the golden pot of manna in there. God's presence in your life, center point, it assures you of the provision of all your needs. If God is a center. Aaron's rod that budded, a stick, not connected to nothing, and it's got flowers on it. God's presence in your life assures you of the power for all your trials. And there was the table of the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. If God is the center point of your life, everything's revolving around Him, it assures you of a pattern to be like Baptists, God forbid, to be like Jesus. I can't keep up with Baptists. Before COVID, I was going in 50 churches a year. They all got a list of do's and don'ts. I can't keep up with them. Some weeks we can, some weeks we can't. Some weeks I can go to the beach and some weeks I can go to the coast and sometimes I just gotta go east. Can't keep up with all that. St. Augustine said, love God with all your heart and then do as you please. The key is God the center point of everything revolving around Him? The Bible says because of this center point, verse number 11, He blessed, was interested in that word, to give unforeseen benefits, acts of adoration, to constantly bend down to an inferior for the purpose of helping and lifting them up. Obed-Edom's house, because God was a center point, everything was revolving around them. God, the superior, constantly bending down to help Obed-Edom. But oh, it was bigger than that. Verse number 12 says, and it was told, King David said, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him. I was interested in the word pertaineth. It means to attach or to become adhesive, to become a necessary, like a finger is to a hand, like a hand is to an arm, like a foot is to a leg. Because he had made him the center point of his life, God adhesed, he attached his blessings to Obed-Edom like a finger is to a hand, like a hand is to an arm, like a foot is to a leg. God's blessings would not let Obed-Edom go. I was wondering this morning, you know anything like that? Is every time you turn around, oh, there's another blessing. Oh, gracious, blessing. Oh, blessing. I can only imagine that the chicken started laying more eggs. I can only imagine the cows had more calves. They're giving more milk than they'd ever given. I can only imagine that the well had more water in it than all of its neighbors. I can only imagine the meal barrel never went dry. I can only imagine that the oil in the lamps never burnt down. I can only imagine that the kids were never more well behaved. I can only imagine they was making straight A's in the school. Family was never sick. Never anything broke down. Crazy people probably died healthy. How come? It made God center point. Everything was revolving around him. I was thinking not only about his calling, his change, his center. You got the Bible there, 1 Chronicles chapter 15. You say, what in the world would be gained by me making God the center and everything revolve around him? Notice Obed-Edom's compensation, 1 Chronicles 15, verse number 24. Latter part of verse number 24. And Obed-Edom was a doorkeeper for what? Where is he the doorkeeper at in the temple? Well, he's a doorkeeper at the Holy of Holy Veils right before the ark. He is the guy that when the priest is coming with the blood, he's the one that pulls the curtain back for him to walk in. Wow. He got a front row seat to the Old Testament death, burial, and resurrection picture. I wonder how many times he has pulled that curtain back as he hears the priest coming out and he catches a glimpse of Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. How in the world did he get to do that for? It's all very simple. He put God as the center of his life. Everything was revolving around God. I notice in 1 Chronicles 15, verse number 21, the Bible says that Obed-Edom played a harp in the temple orchestra. Wow. Not only the doorkeeper, he played a harp. Oh, it's bigger than that. The Bible says here in verse number 21, Shimonith to excel. The little phrase there is the orchestra leader. He is in charge of the temple orchestra. Plays the harp. He's in charge of the whole thing. Wonder what it was like to play in the temple orchestra. Maybe when David brought down the psalm that he wanted sung that Sunday. God is our refuge and strength, a very present. Brother, wonder what it had been like to stepped up here and played that for the first time. What did he get to do that for? Amen. What it was been like, Obed-Edom down there, that week they practiced and got ready to play and hear the choir sing, the temple choir sing for the first time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow. To sing, delight thyself also in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Did Obed-Edom get to do all of that? Everything revolving around God. 1 Chronicles chapter 26, I'll bring these thoughts to a close. So what in the world would be, what in the world would I want to do that for? It's calling, it's change, it's compensation. Notice his crown, his crown. This is where God blowed the bottom out of me. This part right here. I have three sons, three wonderful daughter-in-laws, and 16 grandchildren. And I was thinking about his crown, Obed-Edom. 1 Chronicles 26, verse 4. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom, and he names eight of them. Verse number 5. God blessed them too. Wow. God adhered like adhesive to all eight of his sons, and he is blessing them too. I say this, it's awful deep. I say this, wow. That would be worth the trip right there. All eight of his sons, it says they ruled throughout in verse 6. They were mighty men of valor. Verse number 6. And also unto Shemaiah his son. Please tell me he's not going to bless his grandchildren too. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. How do he get his kids blessed and all his grandchildren too? Set a point of everything. Everything revolving around him. He said in verse 7, they were strong men. His grandchildren, able men for the strength of the service. Verse number 9, strong men. Wow. So they rule the house, mighty men, strong men, able men. That's what Obed-Edom got for his crown. I don't know about you, it makes me want to center him up. Years ago, we used to have those old 78 records, little hole. Some of you young people don't even have a clue what that would be, unless you're into vinyl. We used to fool around with them and poke a hole off center, play them. Awful sounds. See, Obed-Edom's life wasn't like that because God was the center point. Everything was revolving around him. I was reading the words of this, I guess would be classified as a song of today, spoke to me though. In and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. But then I come into his presence, all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Through his love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place for us to find the answers in the hour of distress. Now, there never is any reason for you to give up in distress. Just slip away and breathe his name. He will surely meet you there in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty. Amen. Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Oh, Obed-Edom, he didn't have to go down to the church house. He didn't have to bow at the altar. He didn't have to go way out in the woods. How come? God's living at the house. He just talked to him. Just enter into his presence. How come? God had made himself at home. He had done reclined and kicked up his feet. He's resting, taking it easy in Obed-Edom's house. I don't know about you. I want him to be the center of my house. If my boys just was to have, my grandchildren were just to have the kids that I have, if the Lord doesn't come back in fourth or fifth generation now, I'll have several hundred people that come out of me. And I would love to think that because I have made him the center of everything in my life, everything revolving around him, that he'd bless every one of them. You listening to me? Father, we thank you this morning for the power of the Word of God. Lord, if you are the least bit of center in my life, show that to me, that I could center you up. Everything revolving around you. Thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Billy, amen. It's yours.